We're continuing our look at Acts chapter 12, verses 20 through 25. Let me read verse 21 just to get us back to where we were last time. Luke writes, "On the appointed day, Herod donned his royal robes and sat on his throne and addressed the people." Now, as I finished last time, I told you that we should picture this scene. It's the second morning of the games. Herod has commissioned in honor of Caesar. As Herod enters the hippodrome, he is wearing expensive garments made of a reflective material. And when the morning sun falls on Herod, he appears to glow. Some historians believe he did it intentionally, to imitate the Phoenician sun god. It may also remind us of the glory that is said to have emanated from the various angelic appearances and even Christ's transfiguration. Let me read again what Luke reports about this. "And the people began to shout, 'This is the voice of a god and not of a man.'" Two things seem to converge in this story. First, the people saw the rays of the sunrise reflecting off of Herod's exquisite robes, creating a radiant image. Second, Herod gave a remarkable speech, perhaps inspired by the moment, perhaps inspired even by demonic powers. The combination of these factors led to the crowd shouting, "This is the voice of a god, not a man." Considering the paganism of first century Rome, this is not as shocking as it sounds. The emperors were regularly worshipped as gods. At points, even human sacrifices were offered to the emperors. John MacArthur describes the scene this way. "Oh, Herod ate this up. Anybody bowing at his feet he absolutely loved. And to see two great, free, powerful cities bowing and scraping at his feet was so great. He decided that the whole world would know how super he was, how great he was, and watch these two nations bow at his feet." As many commentators have attested, Agrippa normally demonstrated a measure of respect for the Jewish God. But on that day, he did not rebuke the crowd. For Judea's king, it must have seemed like the very apex of his career. Now, I have an additional note on this event. It is possible that the leaders of Tyre and Sidon purposely instigated the exaggerated praise of the Judean king to please and appease him. I can imagine them whipping up the crowd to inflate Herod's ego. Here's what Proverbs 29, 4 through 5 says. "By justice, a king gives a country stability, but those who are greedy for bribes tear it down. Those who flatter their neighbors are spreading nets for their feet." Considering what happened next, Herod no doubt wished he had immediately set the record straight and hushed the crowd. Luke tells us immediately because Herod did not give glory to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down and he was eaten by worms and died. Josephus, of course, wrote that Herod immediately got a terrible pain in his gut and saw an owl, a harbinger of death. He goes on to say that Agrippa spent the next 5 days in agony before he died, his bowels eaten by worms. Now let's note a couple things about Herod's death. First, we have a combination of both supernatural and organic references. Luke says that an angel of the Lord was present in the crowd that day, perhaps even standing on Herod's royal platform. When Herod accepted the people's worship, the angel struck him down. And then we also have the reference, of course, to the organic disease in his bowels. We'll see more of this next time on Verse by Verse.